Turn with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Once again, I covet your prayers for this message. I am praying for you that you hear the message. And the least you can do is pray for me and pray for yourself. I know it sounds good and it sounds pious, but it's true. The saying, I preach as never to preach again. Richard Baxter said this. I preach as never to preach again. It's dying man to dying men. And it could be true that this is the last message I'll ever preach to you. Perhaps the last message you'll ever hear from me anyway. Maybe the last message you'll hear, period. And my heart aches. God knows how my heart aches. The burden I have for you people. If I had a dying wish right now, it would be this. That everybody in here on the sound of my voice would know Jesus Christ and have eternal life. That would be my heartfelt wish. But salvation is not in my will or my wish. Salvation is in the will of God. Now, these are the last words of Christ before he went to the cross. And this is the last message in this series that we've been doing on his final words and this prayer. You could possibly call this his last will and testament because of the first few words he utters here in these last few verses. His last will and testament. I don't know if you're included or not. I hope so. I hope I'm included. Look at verse 24. This is where we've left off. This is where we'll begin. Verse 24. Father, I will that. Christ is praying to the Father, and he says, Father, praying to our God, he says, Father, I will. I will something. Christ keeps calling God his Father here in his prayer six times. Six times he utters the word Father, the name Father. Now, you know what the sweetest words on this earth are to my ears? It's probably the same to some of you all. Well, spiritually speaking, I'm talking about on this earth, humanly speaking, the sweetest words to my ear are when they come from that little girl right there, Daddy. Daddy. I can't get enough of hearing that. Daddy. Except maybe riding in the car for 8 or 9 hours. She continually says, Daddy this, Daddy that. But it's truly sweet to my ears. You know what I'm talking about. I detect a softening in my father still when I call him on the telephone. I ring his number and he answers, Hello. That's how he answers. Hello. I say, Dad. Paul. It's still sweet. And these are the dying words of our Lord Jesus Christ to our God and our Father, his Heavenly Father. And he says, Father, there's something I want. I will. The last request of God the Son to God the Father. Now you can rest assured that the Father's going to answer what he asks. He's going to give it. This is what he says. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me, that they also be with me where I am. Mindy was out driving a couple of years ago. And while she was driving, she spotted a little scraggly cat walking along the road. A little scraggly cat is about to be hit by a car. If she hadn't stopped and rescued that animal, it would have been. It would have been killed. But she set her affection on it. She stopped the car. She got out, picked the cat up, and put it in the car with her, and took off for home with it. Was Hannah with you, Dan? Oh, you're walking. Okay, she was walking. Was Hannah with you? No. But she brought that cat home, and you should have seen it. It was ugly. It was scraggly. It needed to be fed. And we didn't need it. We already had one cat. We didn't need it. And certainly not this one. Poor and scraggly looking animal that it was. But you know what the deciding factor was? The deciding factor in us keeping that cat? Mommy, can we keep it? Can we keep it? Yes, honey. He's yours. He's yours. That's us. That's exactly what happened to us. Lost, far from home, far from God, wandering, doomed, damned, sin sick, scraggly, but God. But God saw me like that infant in the field, saw me lying in the field, polluted my own blood. And He stopped the world and got off. Or got on. Stopped the world and got on and saw me lying there and said, "Live. And you're going home with me." And He gave me to Christ. Gave me to Christ. And that's what, in a sense, that's what Christ is asking here. Father, I want to keep them. I want to take them home with me. All the way home with me. He set His affection on us and gave us to Christ, and that's what Christ asked for. God justified us. Christ came and lived and died for us and paid the penalty that we owed because of our sin. And therefore, God the Father receives us. And that's what He says here. Father, I will that they also whom You've given me be with me where I am. I want to take them home with me. Home to stay. Home to live. That they be with me. That they be with me. Right beside me. Right beside me, my friend. Like that little cat. Hannah loved that cat from that day forward. And slept with it, fed it, nursed it. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ must do for us. Right beside Him, His friends, His companions, His brothers, His lifelong buddies. Not because we loved Him, because He first loved us and did that work for us. Look what He said. That they may be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory. Beloved, the apostle writes, now are we the sons of God. Right now. By virtue of what Christ did a long time ago. By what Christ does right now for His people. Now are we the sons of God. By faith. If we trust Christ. If we've truly been born again by His Spirit. By the word of truth. Now are we the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear unto us. It doth not yet appear unto us what we shall be. It doesn't even look similar, does it? It doesn't even look close to what we shall be. We can't fathom it. We can't enter into it. But this we know, he goes on to say. This we know, that when He shall appear, finally, when He comes back to earth, or in death, when we die, He appears to us in death. When He shall appear, we'll be like Him, and we're going to see Him as He is. As He is. Paul said this, we see through a glass darkly, dimly, like looking at a beautiful flower through a welder's shield, a pair of sunglasses. Can't see it very clearly. We see through a glass darkly, but someday, he said, face to face. Face to face. Face to face. People,
I was overcome with this when I thought about it sitting in the study. There's some people in here. There's some people in here that are going to see Jesus Christ. I mean like this, Henry. Look him in the eye. Jesus Christ we're talking about. Seeing. Really see. Everybody's going to see. Every eye's going to behold him. Some are far off, but some people, by his mercy and by his grace, are going to see him right up close. He might even kiss you on the cheek. Job said this, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'm going to see my God. I'm going to see. I'm going to see him for myself, Job said. My eyes shall behold. Not another. Me. Not Abraham. I know Abraham's there looking at him. I know Jacob, Isaac, Joseph, Paul, Peter, James, John. I know those. Me. And maybe you. Stand right beside him. Think about that. Just think about that a little bit. I'd like to just leave you with that. I will, that they may behold my glory. And it's indescribable. Because you love me. Let's go on. We'll describe that glory in a minute. That they may behold my glory, which you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, the Father loves the Son and delivered all things to him, has made all things by him, made him Lord over all things, like his only Son, the heir to the throne. God placed all his love, all his glory, all of his grace in his only begotten, well-beloved Son, much like somebody would their only child. Placed all their eggs and won all their love, all their affection in Christ because of that great love wherewith he loved Christ. And well, he should, because he's worthy of that love. He's the altogether lovely one. He's the only man ever lived that deserved God's love, that earned it. And God said it out loud. God couldn't contain himself. That's my son, I'm well pleased. That's my boy. Look at him. Isn't he great? Isn't he wonderful? Said it twice. I will, Father, that those you gave me be with me, that I keep them and take them all the way home with me, and they may see me really like I am. Like I am. Don't you know what those disciples, they walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, but they still didn't know him. Their eyes were still beholding that they should know him. They saw him every now and then. A little glimpse here and there, transfiguration here and there, little glimpse. But that day, what about that day when they walked over, when they passed over from this life to the next and saw him? Oh, my. Oh, my. And that's what he says for us. That's what he's praying for us. That we may see him and behold his glory, his person, his glorious person, because Father loved him. Verse 25. Oh, righteous Father. Oh, righteous Father. He says out of further love and honor and adoration and respect unto his Father, he calls him righteous. Righteous Father. You ever heard your children bragging on you in front of other kids? Your kids ever do that? You overheard them talking in the, well, my daddy can do this, you know. My daddy's 10 feet tall and he can lift 1,000 pounds. So what? My daddy, you know, child that really looks up to and respects his father is constantly bragging and adoring and heaping praise and honor upon his father. And the Father delights in our praise of him. And we can't ever exaggerate him because he is 10 feet tall. He's better than that. He is the greatest. He is the highest. He is the strongest. He is all power. You can't exaggerate God. Go on. Tell it. Talk about him. Brag on him. You can't brag enough. Can't brag enough. He's bigger and better, smarter and stronger. Christ isn't buttering up the Father here like some. Now some of our children, when they get a little bit older, they start saying these things to butter you up.
Daddy, can I please, huh? Daddy, you're the sweetest, you know. They don't mean that. But Christ isn't buttering up the Father here. But out of a heart expressing His love and awe and esteem for His Father, He says, "Oh, Father, oh, righteous Father, righteous Father." He says, "The world hadn't known you." I don't know how He said this. I don't know what the tone of His voice was here when He said this. Could have been one of, I don't know. He says, "Oh, righteous Father, the world hasn't known you. They haven't known you, but they should. All the world should," Paul said, "because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. God has showed it unto them. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen by the things that have been understood by the things He's made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, men ought to know. All they have to do is look in the mirror, look at your hand, look at a flower, look at a tree, go outside, look around. That's all they have to look at to know that there is a God, and He's all-powerful, and He reigns and He rules. That's all they have to know. And if they'll acknowledge Him that far, He'll give them more light. He'll give them more light. But they don't. Willingly, ignorant." And Paul says, they're without excuse. The world doesn't know or acknowledge God as well as should. And they keep crying out for signs, don't they? Everybody still wants to see a sign. Show us a sign. But the Scripture said no sign will be given but one. Sign of the cross. That man hanging on the cross. Last sign. And now that sign's done away with. Now it's spiritual. The cross. No sign will be given but the cross. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights and rise again. And they're looking for a voice. Everybody wants to hear a voice. Everybody wants some proof from God Almighty. Want God Almighty to speak. No voice is going to be given anymore. God spoke long enough. God's given enough, hasn't it? Hadn't God done enough? Thousands of years, hadn't God spoke? God in sundry times and different manners spoke unto our fathers by the prophets. Spoke audibly in miracles and signs and wonders. Then He said, "Okay, that's all of that." Then He really spoke. Sent His Son down here to manifest it. For 33 and a third years, God walked the earth to reveal Himself to people. Did they hear Him? Have anything to do with it? Killed Him. So should God speak anymore? The next time He does is to wipe this mess out. God doesn't have to speak anymore. He's done enough, hasn't He? And He done enough? Christ says, "The world hadn't known you." They should, but they don't. But Christ says, "I know you. I've known you, and I've loved you, and I've glorified you, and I've honored you, and I've manifested you because I know who you are. And I can't help it. I know who you are. You're wonderful and glorious and all-powerful person. And bless God." Look at this. Verse 25. He says, "And these have known you." There's some other people that know you. And you wouldn't have known Emmanuel Parks if He hadn't revealed Himself to you. You'd been like everybody else. Like everybody else. "I've known you, and these have known that Thou hast sent me." Why? Because Christ revealed. The Holy Spirit revealed Christ to you. And He stops short of saying here that we know God. Notice that. He said, "Righteous Father, the world hasn't known you, but I know you, and these have known that Thou hast sent me." He stops short of saying that the world, that these people know God. Because no man has seen God in time. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. We don't even know Christ, really. He said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." He said, "No man knoweth the Son but the Father. And no man knoweth the Father but the Son and Him to whom the Son will reveal it." This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. But wait a minute now. Do you know God Almighty? Tell me how much you know about God. Do you know Christ, that indescribable God-man, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory? You know Him. Tell me about your knowledge of Him. It's not worth admitting, is it? It's so weak and so pitiful. This is like, look, us saying we know God and know Christ is like a man who's never seen the ocean before, never seen the Atlantic Ocean. And one day, or the Pacific Ocean, he goes across to California and gets up on one of those mountain peaks and looks out, and there's the Pacific Ocean. Hey, it's beautiful. It's glorious. And he goes home and tells everybody, I've seen the ocean. The world is two-thirds water, ocean. He saw about 15 square miles. And he didn't see the depths of it, did he? Didn't see the length of it, the breadth of it, the riches of it, the life that's in it. Didn't see it. He got a little glimpse, and that was it. And goes home to, I've seen the ocean. And it's something. Oh, he says, I hadn't seen. An ear hadn't heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man. Those things. How we know in part. Very little light. We see through a glass dimly. You know, a man can't understand Christ, can't understand God. The Scriptures say His ways are past finding out. They're unsearchable. One of those fellows asked this, can you by searching find out God? God? It's kind of like, it'd be like my daughter saying that she understands metaphysics. That she pulled down a book on nuclear research and start looking through it and understand. Impossible. Now, she might, if I sit down with her for the next 50 years. Well, somebody would sit down with me first. But if I sat down with her for the next 50 years, I still wouldn't know all there is to know. But she might learn a little bit. And that's us. God's got to work with us and teach us and instruct us and lead us and guide us till the day we die. And then we still don't know anything. Now, hey, when we get to heaven, we're going to be like the Queen of Sheba. We're going to see Him as He is. What are we going to say? I have never been told. I didn't know nothing. That's where our mouths are going to be stopped. I didn't know anything. Certainly didn't know Him as I ought to know Him. She does this. She did this just the other day. She's learning to spell a few words. Cat, dog. And she says, now I know how to spell. How many words are in the dictionary? And we can say justification, sanctification, redemption, propitiation. Got theology wrapped up. The study of God wrapped up. So what foolish little babies that we are. But Christ knows Him fully. And He has revealed Him unto us by His Spirit. Not fully, but in measure. He said the thing, I've got many things to say unto you, but you can't take it. You can't take it. Couldn't take it. Your little mind, your little puny little brains aren't able to handle everything that I could tell you. And that's what they did. When on that road to Emmaus, you know, when he started telling them all these things, preaching that long sermon to them about all those Old Testament types, all they could say was, all over with. Oh, heart. You feel it? Heart's burning. And our hearts burn as He opened the Scriptures unto us. Now listen. Gather your attention. Verse 26. Christ said, Father, I've declared unto them Thy name. I've declared unto them Thy name. Now, God's name, you know this. Said it many times. Other men have said it. God's name is His person. His power. His character. His glory. His attributes. God's name describes who God is and how He works. That's the name. He's got the name of God. That's what he's talking about there. Got these names of the Lord in the back of my Bible. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Christ taught the disciples and us how that the Lord provides all for us. They surely did find it out, didn't they? He was their provider for 3.5 years. And when he was about to leave, they were desperate. Oh, no, no. What are we going to do? And the Lord must provide all things necessary for us, for life and for godliness, to make us fit for heaven itself. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, they saw that, didn't they? They saw how that he was the Lord that healeth all manner of diseases. They said after he healed one fellow, we never seen it like this. Truly God is with this man. Nobody can do the works that he did unless God be with him. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. The Lord our banner. The Lord our flag, our ensign. Our ensign. The one in under whom we walk through this warfare of life. Our head, our federal head. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. They were constant, in constant turmoil, upsetness every time. It's all right. Let not your heart be troubled. Peace, peace. He had to constantly, continually keep saying that to them. And peace, boys, no, come on. It's all right. I'm with you. Peace. And we understand through the gospel how that Christ has made peace by the blood of his cross. Now that God is no longer angry with some people because Christ took away that enmity in his flesh, because Christ bore the punishment that we were due, and now God's no longer angry with us, but at peace with us. We've been reconciled to God by Christ. Jehovah Raya, the Lord my shepherd, like a faithful shepherd, he called them, he kept them. He fed them, he watched them, he kept them, he warned of wolves, he fought the wolves, put them on his shoulder, carried them all the way home. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. They found that out, didn't they? That without him they could do nothing. They sure couldn't get to God. Because Peter found that out real fast after the Lord was gone. He denied the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope of acceptance with the Father. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is present. And they found that out after Christ rose back and went back to the Father. By all the signs and wonders and his very presence with them through the Holy Spirit. They found that out. His character, his name is merciful, gracious, loving, good. His name... Christ said, I revealed your ultimate name. He said, I've declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it. His name, Christ declared it. His name is that name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and call him. Said, you've seen me, you've seen God. That final name, that final name, Yeshua, God our Savior, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And he said, I will declare it. And that's the name we're going to hear throughout the ages. It's going to still be being declared throughout the ages, that name, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And there's none other name. None other name under God's heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. And he says that, the reason that I've declared your name and will continue to declare it to these my disciples. Now look closely with me. Bear with me a few minutes. That, in order that, or for the purpose, I do all this that the love. Now stay with me now. This is important. It's the last word Christ utters before he goes to the cross. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Love. Here we go again. Here we go again. Do you remember how he started this whole message out? John 13. Look over there. John 13, verse 1. You remember how we started this whole thing out? How Christ started out his message here? How the Holy Spirit recorded it? Look at John 13. Talking about the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. John 13, 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, this is where we began. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's the last thing he just mentioned, wasn't it? The last thing he just mentioned. Oh, the intricacies and the complexity and the depth of God's Word is so perfect. It's so perfect. It complements itself over and over again. John 13, 1. Look at verse 34. Now Christ says, now, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another, because by this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. How important is it? Look at chapter 14. Across the page, chapter 14, verse 19. John 14, 19. Now Christ says, a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you're going to know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, he that has my commandment, my word, and keeps them, my commandments, he's the one that loves me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how are you going to manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Christ said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, we'll come unto him and make our abode with him. Now look down at chapter 15, verse 12. Just rehashing these things. Now he says, now this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another as I have loved you. Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Greater love hath no man than God, because he gave his Son. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. Greater love hath no man than God. God sent his Son. Greater love hath no man than Christ, because he laid down his life for the ungodly, wretched, vile sinner. And greater love hath no man or woman in here to God and to Christ than the love of the brotherhood. That's the key. That's the evidence. That's the mark. And the sisterhood. We've been looking at this over and over and over again, and I'm just beginning to see the importance of it, and how it's just full. This is the last thing Christ says. First thing that was said, the last thing. Beloved, listen to this, and I quit. Let us love one another. For love is of God. Let us love actively one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. I'm not going to explain that. I'm just going to read it. And knoweth God. Now he that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. And he that hath this love for God, for Christ, for his gospel and his people, Christ said there, that last word he said there in that last verse, is I'll be in them. This is my commandment. It's the last thing he said before he went to reveal to to do that greatest show of love ever known to the human race. To lay down his life in love for ungodly wretched sin. He said, if I have done this, ought not you do it for the brethren? Weighty words, aren't they? Weighty words. Powerful portion of Scripture. Didn't do it justice like I'd like to, but who can? Who's sufficient for these things? But the Father will answer the prayer of the Son. Because he delights in him, he loves him. He's going to glorify him. And you believe Christ and trust in him, and you'll see his glory, and you'll because you'll be with him. And God sheds abroad his love for God, for Christ, for his gospel, sheds that in your heart, and it manifests itself and outwardly in the love for the brotherhood, for the sisters. Then you have some good evidence. Good evidence. You're a child of God. But he that loveth not, knoweth not God. There's the promise and there's the warning. So, he that hath my commandments, my words, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Christ. Let's sing this song, number 340.